"I've done it," she said under her breath. The ramshackle boat began to chug its way out into the middle of the Qualheim, the prow pointing downriver, gradually picking up speed. She stopped dropping logs into the thermal exchange furnace's square hopper funnel and started to laugh. "Screw you," she told the village as it began to slide astern. "Screw all of you. And good fucking riddance, you won't ever see me again." She shook her fist at them. Nobody was looking, not even the Ivet lads in the water. Never, ever. Abbedale disappeared from sight as they steered round a curve. Her laughter became suspiciously similar to weeping. She heard someone making their way aft from the wheelhouse and started lobbing logs into the hopper again. It was Gale Buchanan, who barely fitted on the narrow strip of decking between the cabin and the half-meter-high gunwale. She wheezed heavily for a moment, leaning against the cabin wall, her face red and sweating below her coolie hat. "Happier now, lovey?" "Much," Marie beamed a sunlight smile. "It's not the kind of place a girlie like you should be living in. You'll be much better off downriver." "You don't have to tell me. God, it was awful. I hated it. I hate animals. I hate vegetables. I hate fruit trees. I hate the jungle. I hate wood." "You're not going to be trouble for us, are you, lovey?" "Oh, no, I promise. I never signed a settlement contract with the LDC. I was still legally a minor when we left Earth, but I'm over 18 now, so I can leave home any time I want to." A nonplussed frown creased the folds of spare flesh on Gale's gibbous face for a second. "Aye, well, you can stop loading the hopper now. There's enough logs in there to last the rest of today. We're only sailing for a couple of hours. Lanny'll moor somewhere below Schuster for the night." "Right." Marie stood up straight, hands pressed against her side. Her heart was racing, pounding away against her ribs. "I did it." "You can start preparing supper in a while," Gale said. "Yes, of course." "I expect you'd like a shower first, lovey. Get cleaned up a bit." "A shower?" Marie thought she'd misheard. She hadn't. It was in the cabin between the galley and the bunks, an alcove with a curtain across the front broad enough to fit Gale. When she looked down, Marie could see the river through the gaps between the deck boards. The pump and the heater ran off electricity from the thermal exchange furnace, producing a weak warm spray from the copper nozzle. To Marie it was more luxurious than the Sybarite's jacuzzi. She hadn't had a shower since her last day on Earth. Dirt was something you lived with in Abbedale and the Savannah homesteads. It got into the pores, under nails, scaled your hair, and it never came out, not completely, not in cold stream water, not without decent soap and gels. The first sluice of water from the nozzle disgusted her as it drained away. It was filthy. But Gale had given her a bar of unperfumed green soap and a bottle of liquid soap for her hair. Marie started scrubbing with a vengeance, singing at the top of her voice. Gwyn Laws never even knew the Ivets were there until the club smashed into the small of his back. He blacked out for a while from the pain. Certainly he didn't remember falling. One minute he was lining up his electromagnetic rifle on a dandrill, anticipating the praise he would earn from the rest of the hunting party. And the next thing he knew was that there was loam in his mouth, he could hardly breathe, and his spine was sheer agony. All he could do was retch weakly. Hands grabbed his shoulders, and he was turned over. Another blast of fire shot up his spine. The world shuddered nauseously. Quinn, Lawrence, and Jackson were standing above him, grinning broadly. They were smothered in mud, hair hanging in soiled dreadlocks, spittle saturating their tufty beards, scratches bleeding, dribbles of red blood curdling with the mud. They were savages reincarnated out of Earth's dawn times. He whimpered in fright. Jackson bent down, teeth bared with venomous joy. A ball of cloth was thrust into Gwyn's mouth, tied into place with a gag. Breathing became even harder, his nose flaring, sucking down precious oxygen. Then he was turned again, face pressed into the wet ground. All he could see was muddy grass. He could feel thin, hard cord binding his wrists and ankles. Hands began to search him, sliding into every pocket, patting the fabric. There was a hesitant fumble when fingers found the inside leg pouch on his dungarees trousers, tracing the shape of his precious Jovian bank credit disc.